Welcome to Lake Country Bible Church. I see we've got at least one new visitor, if not more. So just if you would look in the pouch in the chair in front of you, there's a envelope, got a form and a pen in it. If you'd fill that out and put that in the offering box on the basket beside the door on the way out this morning, let us know a little bit about yourself. We'd appreciate that. You could call or we could call. You can learn more about us and we can learn more about you. But by all means, welcome to Lake Country Bible Church. Right.
I want to thank Terry Posey for letting me stand down here. He takes pity on the knees that have difficulty climbing up and down the stairs. It's hard for an old man to admit that, but it's true. Announcements. Prayer meeting every Sunday in the room back here at 9 o'clock. You're welcome. Everyone is welcome. Tuesday night, women's Bible study in the same room back here. Terry Buckler's leading the study of the book of Judges. All women are invited. Wednesday night, prayer meeting and Bible study, 6 o'clock p.m. Everybody's welcome in this room here. Bible Day Camp is coming up. Bible Day Camp, ages 6 to 12, will be June 28th to July 2nd. If you're interested in helping and they do need some help, be available. Please let everyone know by signing up out back on the list. Father's Day, next Sunday, potluck. Hard to believe Father's Day is already here this year. Next Sunday, plan on attending and celebrating Father's Day together. Bring your favorite dish. All are welcome. Let us go to prayer. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome, awesome God. We thank you for the work of Christ on the cross. We thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for grace, for your love, your patience with us. We pray, Father, for Mike McFarland and his message today. Give him wisdom and guidance and leadership in his activities as our pastor and as his sermon today. We pray for the leadership committee today that meets after church today. Pray for the youth projects that are taking place at camp in Grace Farm. We pray that you would be with those people that are planning on going and travel and transportation to that camp. Be with those young people so that they get to know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. Father, we pray that we walk in the way, that we talk in the way that you teach us. We pray that we love one another as you would want us to. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is 2 John 1. 1 through 13, 2 John 1, 1 through 13, 2 John 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only, but also all that they have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not unto your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that abideth him, God speedeth. Speed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect, sister, greet thee. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good to look out and see everybody that's here this morning. We're missing some, I think. Some are not feeling well, so be sure and pray for them if you would. We have had a busy 2 or 3 weeks. We get ready for camp. Be sure and pray for Lisa. Lisa is going to Camp Grace, Danielsville, Georgia, up in the foothills of the mountains there in North Georgia. Beautiful place. A lot of activity going on there. Had a great work week of Georgia Mission Project. I got a lot accomplished. Stephanie and I talked towards, I guess it was Saturday, and she said, we've been milling wood all week long. That's the important thing there at Grace Farm. We planted, I can't remember how many thousands of pine trees, and they were about this tall when we planted them, and they have grown, and now they are almost full ready for harvesting for any wood projects that are around the Grace Farm. We have some 48 acres there. The back 32 acres is undeveloped. It's raw land. It used to be a plantation. The other 8 acres is what's been developed into what is Grace Farm. So pray for Lisa as she goes. It's a good long drive. She'll see lots of pretty territory, but pray for her for safety and the possibility of her niece going with her is great. But Lisa's going to go and work at Grace Farm, and she will be in the kitchen with Barbie Stahl, so she'll enjoy that kind of fellowship. The Bible studies will be great, and so pray for her. Also, I don't know if any of you are aware, but there is not a van to be found, I don't think, in the state of Texas. I got the last one. I didn't think I was ever going to find one. Was able to find one. We'll be picking it up for kids that will be going to Camp Grace, which begins a week from tomorrow. And so be sure and be in prayer for them. In fact, I saw some of those characters that are going to be going to Grace Farm for Camp Grace, and I am going to ask them if you would come forward, please. Would you come forward if you're going to Camp Grace? Who in the bathroom? Well, maybe I'll give you a reprieve for just a moment until the two get out of the bathroom, and then... So anyway, you're fortunate they went to the bathroom, or you'd be up here by yourself with me. But pray for these that are going to Camp Grace. It's a little bit more active camp than junior camp, but a little bit deeper Bible study. But the Lord will bless in His Word. I was reading this week as I was looking for ads for vans. I was reading this week about marriage advice. And one of the bits of advice, husbands, remember that when you have a discussion with your wife, always get the last two words in. Yes, dear. Man was speaking, and he said, my wife gave birth four times and still fits in her prom dress from high school. I gave birth zero times, and I haven't fit in my pants since March. All right, ladies, still in the bathroom, all right? Let's go. This is a good one. When a newly married man looks happy, we know why. When a 10-year married man looks happy, we wonder why. So anyway, there we go. Would all these campers come up here this morning? Don't sit down, stand up. Everybody that's going to Camp Grace, stand up, please. And come up here in the front, right here. Stand right over here. I'm not going to hurt you. I know it feels like it. Turn around here and face me for the time being. I want to encourage you, as you go to Camp Grace, that you do everything that you know to do to pay attention during the Bible study times. You'll learn a bunch. Put all your efforts into the games that you're asked to participate in. And above all, you have a good time. Okay? Now I want you to turn around and look at these folks here in this auditorium. And I want these folks here in this auditorium that will be praying for these kids, plus there are three more going, right? Five more going. Gotcha. Yep, five. Five more going that you'll be praying for them. If you'll do that, would you just raise your hand? You'll pray for these. You see, campers, these folks will be praying for you to have the best time you've ever had, and that you'll learn more than you've ever known before. And let's pray for these campers as we bid them a week from tomorrow as they leave out for camp. All right? Well, actually, they'll be leaving out probably a week from today. But let's pray, okay? Father, we come to you this morning. We pray for these campers and those five others that aren't here this morning. We ask that you'd bless them extra special good. Father, we pray that you'd open their eyes, their ears, their minds, that they might hear, see, and receive the truths of your word. Father, we ask that you'd bless them extra special good. Give them a good time. Give them a safe time, safe trip. Father, we'll give you the honor and praise. Thank you for those here in this auditorium who've pledged this morning to pray for them. And Father, we pray that you would remind us daily, maybe even many times during the day, to be praying for these campers that are going off to camp. Bless them extra special good, we pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, please. Let's give them a hand. We're looking this morning in the book of 2 John, and we'll be covering, hopefully, through the end of 2 John. And in order for us to get the most out of it, let's ask God's blessing upon this time together. Father, we come. We ask that your Spirit would lead, guide, and direct us as we look into your word. We pray, Father, that we might take the things that are there for us to see, and Father, that we might heed them, and we might be encouraged to operate by them in the days and the weeks to come. So, Father, bless this time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 2 John, we find this little book of some 13 verses is crammed full of information. The book of 2 John is much like the book of 1 John, in that John wanted people to know certain things. It's almost as if John looked at his first epistle that he wrote, and he decided that there were some things that probably he should have covered. At least the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this book of 2 John. And this morning we're going to pick up with a short review here in 2 John, and 2 John chapter 1, verse 4. Look there with me if you would. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. John said, God has instructed us. He has commanded us. Verse 5, we read, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have, that we had from the beginning, that we love one another. The commandment that John is referring to is that God gave us a commandment to love one another. So we find here instruction to be obedient to the commandment to love one another. Now, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I have discovered in my some, I would say, 62 years, I guess that's about right, I don't do the math real good, but I think 62 years, I have come to realize that some people are hard to love. And yet we find here the instruction that John is giving as the same instruction that God gave in his commandment that we love one another. How do we do that? What kind of love is he talking about? Is it that warm, mushy type of love that sometimes some campers have for another camper as they go off to camp, especially as they get up into Camp Grace age? Is that the kind of love? I don't think that it is, because John gives us a description of that love in verse 6 of 2 John. We find, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Do you ever think about that? That is a different kind of love than that which we normally think about as being love. We walk after his commandments. You say, sometimes that's difficult. Well, now, let me ask you, and Nancy, I love you very much, but I'm going to say sometime during the 62 years that we have been married and the 64 years that we have known one another, I know that I have been difficult to love with that warm, mushy kind of accepting, all acceptance love that some people think of as being love. That is a love. But this love that John is speaking about, that God gave us commandment to do, is that we walk after his commandments. Sometimes those commandments, just like I am, we are sometimes difficult to love. During these 62 years we have been married, when I have been difficult to love, Nancy has continued to love me, show me, to love me as she kept the house, as she mopped the floors, cleaned the bathrooms, cooked my meals, washed my clothes, made the bed. Come on, ladies, you can think of more than I can. right. She's loved me. It probably wasn't the most enjoyable thing to love me when I was unlovable. Here, we find that if God gave us the commandment to love those people that are difficult to love, we are to do for them. That's the commandment, to love one another, to walk after His commandment. He goes on to say that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. God's commandment, to love many times the unlovable. And in the 60 some odd years, 50, let's make it about right, 57 years, as I've been involved in youth work, as I've been involved in pastoring church, as I have been an attendee in church, I have found some people that are difficult to love. But my commandment that God has given me is to love one another. Love the unlovable. John here is teaching, as well as in his first epistle, to love one another, the unlovable. The one that maybe we would best prefer to be around someone else than around them. But we're to love them. We're to care for their needs. We find in verse 7, John begins another segment of his book here, and that is the expression of this commandment of love and how it applies to our life. In verse 7 of 1st or 2nd John, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. This is sort of seemingly a 180 degree turn that John makes here in his epistle to this either lady that he knows in the ministry, she serves others, or else a certain local church. This is the reason he wrote 2 John. But here we find he changes his tune almost 180 degrees, and he deals with a danger, if you would. He just told us to love one another. He told this lady, or us, this church, to love one another. He's pretty strong about it in this instruction he gave to follow God's commandment to love one another. But evidently, he had some second thoughts as he was penning these words to this either individual or church. And I think the Holy Spirit revealed to him a danger in this thing of following the commandments to love one another. I have seen, and I know probably John had seen, those who follow blindly instructions from the Word of God, but face life without application. And that's a danger we all fall prey to, even into this day in which we live. And John changes almost 180 degrees as he gives a warning. The first five verses, love one another. The whole book of 1 John, love one another. Love one another. It's a commandment, love one another. And yet there's danger. So John wants to warn this lady or this church the danger. You see, there's danger in loving one another. John begins to, if you would, preface, build a foundation of how to love one another. And I would, in my probably limited vocabulary this morning, I would state this foundation as being the foundation of understanding. I've had many people come to me through the years and say, how do I know this church I'm attending is a good church? How do I know that? What test can I give it? I'm going to give you the same information that I gave to those people. And it stands in pretty good evidence. That is very simply, what do they teach is necessary to have eternal life? They're clear on that. You're pretty well safe to say they're a solid church in the Word of God. Doesn't mean that there won't be some mistakes and misunderstandings of truths of the Word of God. But if they have that particular thing, what do they say is necessary to get to heaven? If they have man's works, if they have best intentions, if they have giving, if they have anything more than just belief and trust, Christ and His death on the cross to get them to heaven, I wouldn't attend that church. That was my advice. And John is sort of giving that same kind of advice. You see, I learned from John, the book of 1 John, early on, just as John is writing here, and we're seeing this morning in 2023, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You see, Gnosticism was prevalent back in John's day. And that just simply means that Gnosticism just simply denies the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't really do what he said he did. He was really just a good man who did good things. He really wasn't the Son of God. You see, that's a lie. John is writing to this lady or us, this church, and he said, be careful on who you support and who you allow into your midst. In verse 8, he says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. John is saying, you be careful that the efforts you put forth in your Christian life brings about not salvation, because good works can never bring about salvation or eternal life, but good works that you might receive a reward at the judgment seat of Christ, that you may stand before Christ as His child in the security of heaven, but stand before Christ and He judges the work that you did here on this earth. You make sure that that work is rewarded, the kind of work that He can reward. He says in verse 8, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. We want to, as God's children, safe and secure in our salvation and in the knowledge that heaven is our home, we, as God's children, want to stand before Him at His judgment seat where He judges our works. Let me say this, sin will not be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ. Sin has been paid for removed as far as the east is from the west. The penalty of sin is not brought up here at the judgment seat of Christ, but our good works, those works that we have done, good works, receive a reward. And John says, I want it to be a full reward, so you be careful about who you support. We find in verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Here he has in mind only support, only encourage, only pray for those who are real believers. We should reject those who reject the freeness of the gift of eternal life. We should reject those who reject the salvation by grace. We should reject those who say you have to, in some way, somehow, work enough to get to heaven. Reject those false messages, if you would. In verse 10, he says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. He's just simply saying believers are not to support those teachers in any way that add works to salvation. John says in verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You see, if we support someone, and we've had that, I've experienced that, I've seen that, where people will come in and will make friends in the church by attending, going to the ladies' teas, going to the men's breakfast. They will come in and be a part. Sound good. Look good. They bring in with them a message that does not save. They may be, according to them, on their way to the mission field. They're looking for support. I've seen it happen. I've warned against it. I've come under rebuke, consternation, and attack. John said, don't have anything to do with them. Don't bid them Godspeed. Don't say, God bless you. Don't pray for them. Don't give to their effort if they are unclear or if they have works salvation. Because if you do, you have become part and parcel with them. One who supports a false teacher is partaking in their error. We ought to be careful. You say, Mike, you're pretty strict. Listen, there's only one way to get to heaven. That is by grace through faith. Some who come and say, support me. I'm with this group, and we have missionaries all over the world. You look at their statement of faith, and it's not salvation by grace through faith. John says, don't do that. Don't support them. Don't bid them Godspeed. Because if you do, you become a partner in their error. You lose your reward. As a believer, you lose your reward. John said, I want you to have a full reward, where Christ can look at you and say at the judgment seat of Christ, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Love them. Try to lead them to the Lord. Try to show them a better way. But don't support them. John goes on to say in verse 12, having many things to write to you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. You know, among believers, you can have such close friendship, such close fellowship, that it's good, it's fulfilling, it's beneficial to be able to just sit down and fellowship over God's goodness, over God's grace, over the freeness of the gift that He gives to all who place their faith and trust in Him. John anticipated visiting this church or this person, whoever it is that he's writing to. He just wanted to see him. At a moment to speak with Freddie last night, he called. Gave me a report on how things went. Just the way he is. When I call him, it's just the way I am. See. And I told him, I said, buddy, it's been too long. I've been there to Grace Farm. Too many things I've not seen continuing to be developed or to begin the building of or the finishing up of different things at Grace Farm. Not been there in a while, but I'm looking forward to going. Looking forward to sit down there in the lodge. Just visit. That's the kind of fellowship that one believer should have with another believer, should have with one who knows the gospel, has trusted in it, and is a faithful proclaimer of salvation by grace through faith. John finishes up this second epistle that he wrote, and he says, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. This is probably a greeting from somebody else, not from John, but probably from somebody else who knew who John was writing to and wanted to express their love for them, their encouragement to them, their support of them. Children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. What a testimony from this apostle. Whoever is writing to, individual or church, their eloquent testimony of the love that John had. Yet, caution that John gives. And who we listen to, who we support, my friends, that is necessary more today than ever before. The gospel. You want an earmark of a church that is probably pretty clear and truthful in every area of its doctrinal position. Is one has salvation by grace through faith. Just belief. Christ died, paid for sin. The whole world offers to anyone, the free gift of eternal life when they place their faith and trust in Him, His work on the cross. It's grace. It's grace. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that we can not only trust You for our eternal life, but Father, we can trust You in our walk in this old world, in our walk with You, for You. We pray, Father, we might be champions of salvation by grace through faith. Father, we thank You for the opportunity that we've had through the years to meet godly men, godly women who love You and love Your Word and love the lost. Father, those friendships are precious. Father, we have those friendships with those that are here this morning. Love them, Father. Ask that You'd bless them extra special good. Give them opportunities to share the gospel with others. Father, please, please be with our church friends as they go off to Camp Grace and the junior camp this coming week. Grant them safety and travel. Father, we pray that You would grant them just an excellent time at Grace Farm. We ask all these things in Christ's name.